morning. I'm Pastor Jim Hippestill, pastor of Compassion and Care. If you're a visitor here, I'd like to welcome you. And as far as the shopping trip, you guys probably should include Josh because he really loves to shop for shoes. So there may be something on sale that he would really like to get. So don't leave Josh out. I've been with the Well since the beginning. And we, at one point in time, we were at Flint Springs Elementary. We were a mobile church. From there, we went to the YMCA. And the worship team would be there, set everything up that you see here. Myself and several other people would set up the chairs that you see out there. And in the end, we would tear them down. And one day, out of the blue, I was doing something, and Josh came up to me, and he says, I really need you to get on the UB website and find out what it takes to be a pastor. And I'm like, dude, where's this coming from? I've never, in my wildest dreams, thought that I would be a pastor. But had I not followed what he asked me to do, had I not checked into that, I wouldn't be standing here today, and I wouldn't be part of this amazing church. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about today is God's going to lead us to do things, and we cannot question that. We need to move forward with it. So picture yourself 2,000 years ago, standing in front of Jesus as he holds your hands, and he says to you, child of mine, you're about to go on a journey, and it's going to be a journey of a lifetime. How much time would you take to think about it? Would you say, let me sleep on it, and I'll get back to you tomorrow? Maybe you'd say, I know the perfect person who would be willing to do this for you, so I'll get you their number. Or maybe you say, why me? What a difference would I make? I am sure most of us here today have asked that very same question at least once time in our lifetime. The devil would have us thinking, I will never make a difference. I will never be able to do what you want me to do. I can't do that. I wouldn't know what to say or do. If you must ask yourself that question every time you're asked to do something that is more than you think you can handle, chances are you've never done or attempted the impossible. When impossible situations are tempted and God's miraculous capabilities are involved, that's when the impossible becomes memorable. That's why we have Memorial Day, to remember those who have given their all, those who didn't consider the risk or what others might think. They just put it on a line, and the cause became more important to them than themselves, and their participation became memorable. Would you want a fire truck showing up at your house as it's burning down and the men standing in the truck or sitting in the truck thinking, man, that's way too dangerous to go in there, and they just watch it burn down? Would you want a fire or a police officer come to your house as you're being held hostage and he sits in the car on his cell phone thinking, I ain't going in there, too dangerous? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke shares a story of a man beaten and robbed and left to die by the roadside. Along comes a priest and a Levite, but unfortunately, they passed him by. Soon a Samaritan comes along, most likely on an important journey, stops and gives the man assistance. Lives are lost, opportunities missed when we fail to get involved. The Apostle Paul has seen his shares of the highs and lows. He describes it like this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all through him who gives me strength. Prior to his conversion, Paul was known as Saul. Saul was an evil man who was willing to do whatever it took to rid the world of all who followed God's laws and commandments. He persecuted the church of God, and God confronted Saul on the road to Damascus. God speaks to Saul and asks him, "Why do you persecute me?" To prove to Saul that it truly was God speaking to him, God takes away his eyesight for 3 days. Saul went from hating God and everything that God stood for to being one of God's faithful followers and preaching his words. Paul had experienced many things throughout his ministry. "I know how to be abased," which means to be belittled or degraded. "I know how to be abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer." He never let circumstances decide his involvement in any situation. He gave his all, even though he knew his capabilities were limited. He also knew that God's capabilities were endless. As long as we trust in God's strength, there is nothing that he can't do for us. He knew about giving in every sense of the word. Give to others, trust in God, and God will supply all the needs. That's what he was teaching to the Philippians church. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we read, "Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, passed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap, for with the measures you use, it will be measured to you." In other words, give away your life. You will find life given back to you, and not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessings. Give and not expecting anything in return is the way. Generosity begets generosity. There would never be a need for Memorial Day if there had never been anyone willing to give his or her all by getting involved. The giving is what makes it memorable. Philippians 4, verse 18 through 20. "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus a gift you sent. There are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." What a fabulous portrait this paints for us. A sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I can just picture God sitting on his throne as a young man or young woman opens a door for the elderly. Or someone standing in line and the person in front of them needing to pay their bill, but they don't have the means to do so. So that person pays partial, if not full, the bill. That's what happens when you get and you give to God. That's why we should always be excited about every opportunity, big or small, scares you to death when it comes to giving to the things of God. God loves givers, especially cheerful ones. In Acts 10, verse 1 through 4, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion that was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as memorial offerings before God." When you give, God remembers your prayers and your gifts to others as a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It's all part of the love you're willing to lay down at his feet, and that love is recorded as a memorial into your account. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simeon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor," and they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured her perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Mark is explaining that our gift to God is worthy of remembering and never to be forgotten. Someone once said that the act of worship is a sacrificial giving to Jesus, something that is precious to us. What would that be for you? What do you hold precious to yourself? Would it be your money, your time, your family? And unfortunately, for some people, it could be their iPhone. In Genesis 22, verse 2, we read, "Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.'" God told Abraham to take his only son to a distant mountain and sacrifice him as an offering to God. Abraham, with minimal hesitation, traveled to the location, built an altar, and strapped his son to that altar. Abraham raised a knife in the air over Isaac's chest and was ready to sacrifice his son. Abraham loved and trusted God to the point of him willing to sacrifice his only son to please God. This was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. For the woman we read about in Scripture, it was a jar of perfume. For God, it was his only son. In Mark 14, Mark identifies the location of this event as the house of Simeon in the town of Bethany. Mark doesn't mention the name of the woman, but John identifies her as Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who Jesus had raised from the dead. Jesus tells us that Martha was serving at the gathering and that Lazarus was sitting with Jesus. Jesus is the guest of honor at this gathering. As he sits and eats, Mary enters the room with an alabaster jar of perfume. We need to understand that everyone who walked through that door had the same opportunity to do something extravagant for Jesus, but none of them realized the importance of what was about to happen. You can just imagine those who were in the room wondering, what was she going to do with this jar of perfume? Everyone was wondering except Jesus. He knew exactly what she was going to do. In King James Version, the perfume is referred to as spikenard, which was a very expensive fragrance imported from India. Some experts have set the value at 300 pence, which is roughly equivalent of a year's salary for a common worker. In today's economy, minimum wage for a year is roughly $15,000. Some believe that this perfume may have been Mary's dowry. It was possibly all she truly possessed, and its value could have benefited hers and others alike. Immediately, the disciples begin to criticize her. Their claim was that Mary wasted the precious perfume and that she should have sold it and given the money to the poor instead. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? Talk about a bubble-bursting moment. After pouring out everything she had as an act of worship, she gets criticized and ridiculed by the disciples of Jesus. I would say not much has changed today. Isn't this exactly how the world thinks today? Why in the world would you want to give something valuable to God? The money you give the church could easily make a car payment. But what they really mean is, if I give to the church, then I don't have as much to spend on myself. My time is valuable to me. What if God asked you to take a minute-by-minute journal of your time for 1 week? At the end of the week, you sat down with God and discussed the results. What would the results reflect? Would it reveal a self-centered person? Or someone who is willing to put their own needs second and give a considerable amount of time serving others? I wouldn't want to try to justify my self-centeredness, as in fact, the results showed that I was. I will be the first to admit that I can be self-centered at times. However, as my trust and faith grows, I am becoming less of a self-centered person. The criticism they gave Mary almost ruined the praise and worship she had poured out unto Jesus. Isn't that just like the devil? Try to turn a good deed into a bad one. However, it was too late. God's record keeper had already recorded it as one of her memorable gifts to God. He was already savoring the sweet fragrance it had created in addition to its already pleasant smell. But after hearing what they had said, Jesus stopped them dead in their tracks. He tells the disciples to leave her alone because what she has done, no one else noticed needed to be done. The owner of the house should have washed his feet the moment Jesus entered the house, but he failed to do so. Jesus tells them they could help the poor anytime he wanted or they wanted. However, their time worshiping him in person was quickly coming to an end. Jesus had told his disciples on several occasions that he was going to Jerusalem to be put to death. And now he claims that Mary's act of devotion will serve as an anointing for his death. Although Mary probably didn't intend for her actions to be interpreted this way, perhaps she just wanted to show her respect and love for Jesus by doing so. Jesus knew that he would be put to death as a criminal and that he would be buried without the proper anointing. Jesus is so moved by Mary's actions that he goes on to tell all who were present that day, from that day forth, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her." Earlier I mentioned about giving to God something you hold precious to you. Mary's precious gift to God was a jar of perfume worth a considerable amount of money. John tells us that when she poured it out, the fragrance filled the room. Jesus called the act a good work, and in the original Greek translation, it means a beautiful thing. God has given each one of us a spiritual gift. Every Sunday, our amazing worship team stands up here and praises God with their talents for singing and playing instruments. For you, it may be great faith, knowledge, wisdom, acts of service, hospitality, teaching, preaching, or some other gift. But if you keep that gift to yourself, it benefits no one. It is our responsibility as a Christian to figure out what our gift is and then use it, and use it often for the glory of God and it benefits those around you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we leave this building on every Sunday and we go out into the world and we attempt to be the person we are when we're at church, but society kind of turns us in different directions. So Lord, I pray that you give us the ability to always stand firm in our faith, to always be the person we are when we're here on Sundays, and to always follow your lead, to always do what you're asking us to do, and to always understand that you're with us. Lord, you are mighty and powerful. You are loving and kind. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we close today.